Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi guys, me again, Anoni. Welcome to episode one of Adulting. So I basically thought I'd do this first episode on my own because it seems as though one of the resounding aspects that affects all of us when becoming an adult is a feeling of isolation or maybe even loneliness that we really didn't expect. I think it can be quite a shock to the system when for a huge number of us, you spend a vast amount of time in education, and at school you kind of have no choice but to be involved in some kind of peer group, and of course you're all on the same wavelength, you have the same goals, hashtag goals. And then perhaps if you go to university, once again, you're still not quite adulting. In fact, I would say that uni is a little bit like a waiting room. Like, you might get some people who pass it and go straight into work, and then already that structure that made up your background bubble starts to break apart, and then some people never leave the waiting room. I'm sure we've all got friends who seem to be perpetually studying or studenting or traveling, and then once you're flung from the comforting arms of education, never really thought that I'd say that, The world seems a lot bigger and then also a lot smaller all at once. And the thing that it seems you've been preparing for all your life, which is your career, isn't at the end of the tunnel. It's not directly ready for you, all packaged up neatly once you're out of education. And when you're at uni at school, I think it was a bit more of a relay race, like a team effort. And whilst you might have friends who had better grades with you, or maybe better grades than you, or maybe achieved a bit more than you, it still very much felt like you're in this together. But then suddenly, whether you went to university or not, you're on a straight and narrow, and you might have friends who are 3 years younger than you who seem to be right at the end of the race in an amazing career with earning lots of money and their own flat, maybe they're in a serious relationship, and suddenly it's very uneven, and you might feel like you're the one that's lagging behind, or you might feel like you're doing slightly better than your friends. And it doesn't really matter where you are on that sliding scale. I think for everyone, it's slightly uncomfortable to feel as though, oh, that I don't know what's happened to that really comforting array of people that were around me and now are spread out maybe all over the country, maybe abroad, maybe in completely different fields than you thought. And just at that part of growing up, I call it like a bit of growing pains. I'm actually going to do another episode on this, but I think what it forces you to do is really look into yourself in a way that maybe you've never done before, and kind of see yourself in a whole new light as a whole individual rather than as part of a team. And I think that can be quite difficult. Obviously, in the familial situation, you've got, if you're from lucky enough to be from a kind of nucleic classic family, then you maybe feel like, God, I've never actually felt this way before. And no one prepares you for that, I don't think. I hope you like analogies, because I seem to use them a lot. But my journey to adulthood, for example, was for all intents and purposes probably quite straightforward, in that I'm obviously very privileged. I'm a white cisgendered female living in a first world country, and I certainly didn't face the struggles that other people did. But that being said, I wouldn't necessarily say that it went to plan. You know, I've had my fair share of hiccups. For instance, well, you know, when you're little and everyone asks you what you want to be when you grow up, I think for the first 10 years of my life it was a spy, which probably isn't the best career choice for me, in all honesty, because I don't know how to keep my mouth shut. But, you know, dream big. And then I wanted to be a doctor, because all my family are doctors, and I just thought that was a great shout. So much so that I'd actually four A-levels, four subjects for A-level, because I just couldn't pick. And then I didn't even apply to uni, because I just had no idea what I wanted to do. And that really threw me, because a lot of my friends were like, I'm going to do this. I just had no idea. And I didn't know that I had no idea right up until that point. And so I went traveling. You'll be pleased to know I went on a gap year. I thought I found myself. My 18-year-old self thought I was all kinds of woke. I really wasn't. But at the time, after having a few buckets in Thailand, spending time in Ecuador, I really genuinely thought that I knew everything. I knew absolutely nothing, and still do not know many things. But when I did go to uni, I decided to study English and Spanish purely because I was good at English and I was good at Spanish. And I thought, I need a degree if I'm going to do anything, still not knowing what I wanted to do. But then I did end up changing my course partway through second year. Unfortunately, I was in quite a toxic relationship and I ended up getting physically hurt at that point. And so I went through quite a low phase, which meant that I didn't go to uni as much as I probably should have done. And I also wasn't enjoying the Spanish that much. So I decided that I just wanted to swap to straight English literature. But this isn't like a sad story, because that weirdly is how I've now ended up sat here recording this podcast. I had to wait to start second year again the following September as a single honours English literature student. And in the time off, I decided to get a personal trainer. I wanted something that was going to really kind of readdress how I was feeling. And I wanted a big change. And that felt like a good thing to do, like a wellness overhaul. So that was really when I got into fitness. Prior to that, I'd never been into fitness. I went to one of the most sporty schools in the country and never did sport. I'd be more frequently found smoking behind a bin than I would have been playing netball on a court. I did do recreational trampolining, but I think I was like one of the only ones, so sometimes didn't go to that either. But anyway, so I managed to become a personal trainer, qualified PT in my second year of uni, and then I carried on with uni, graduated with a 2:1 in English literature last summer. And at that point, my social media got to the point where I could actually use that platform as a career. So that in itself is quite something. The job that I have now was not even a job when I was at school. There's no way I could have known I've been doing this. And I just, even now, I find it very difficult to even explain what I do. I'm constantly questioning myself. I never think I'm doing enough. I don't know how to describe what I do to other people because it's all so new. However, I realized this isn't exclusive to me. I really thought that this was because my job was a bit odd. I'm freelance. I work from home. I'm self-employed. I have my own business, but it's really multifaceted. So to explain to anyone, I kind of end up saying I don't, and also because I enjoy my job, it doesn't feel like work. Not to sound smug, I'm very, very lucky, but that's something that actually I find quite difficult. So I just say I'm a personal trainer when actually I don't personal train in person at the minute. So I've realized that as millennials, I think more than ever, we feel so much pressure to achieve so much. Everyone has a side hustle or an extracurricular project. You know, a lot of my friends don't just work 9-to-5 jobs. They work 9-to-5 jobs and also run other activities or a part of charities or do lots of other things. They might have their own business that they're starting up. I think it's a very entrepreneurial generation, generalizing obviously here, but just from what I'm looking at, it seems to be that we want to break the mold. More and more people are going freelance. More and more people aren't happy with the structures that are already in place. And we don't feel like we necessarily fit in to this trajectory that's been placed there for us. So not only are we kind of trying to do more, but we're trying to do more of things which don't necessarily exist. So I think that in itself is quite, in a nutshell, showing you how displacing this generation is, or how displaced it is from society. And then to add to that, there are so few job opportunities and like really very little chance of getting on the property ladder in your 20s. I mean, that isn't... I'm 24. I think when I was at school, I would have assumed at 24 I might own my own property. I mean, no way now do I have any means of getting a mortgage at all. I mean, I only just worked out how to pay back my student loan the other day, which is not great. But then adding to that, we've got the enigma that is social media, which might sound a bit of an antithetical thing for me to say, because I'm very aware that I owe so much to these platforms, but I'm also acutely aware that it's not just influencers that have a brand. It's not just people like myself who use Instagram as a platform for their career. But each and every user of Facebook, Twitter, Instagram has a front-facing brand. We are, for the first time, we can watch in real time a curated highlight reel of every acquaintance we've ever met, every celebrity we admire. And I'm sure that it can be really quite detrimental at times. But I think that's probably going to have to be a whole other episode. Because there's just so much to talk about when it comes to social media and social media platforms. And so I do believe there's safety in numbers. I want to get to grips with how our generation is dealing with growing up at a time when we're already supposed to be deemed adults. We seem to have fully rejected this. We are just not ready to be put into that place. And maybe it's because life expectancy is longer. And maybe it's because we've seen older generations live the lives that we don't want to live. Whatever the cause, it seems we can all agree on one thing. And that is that hashtag adulting is hard. That has been hashtagged millions of times. I think adulting was actually coined about 6 years ago, but in the last 2 years, it's been like a 6-fold increase in the term. And we just don't feel like we've been prepared for it. And I don't think that's necessarily our fault, because you know millennials get a lot of shit for being lazy or for being not understanding how to do practical things. But the world has changed a lot in the last 10 years, even just from our school days to now, the way society works. I think we're maybe a bit more woke. I think we're maybe more invested in social politics. We're quite disenfranchised from actual politics, seeing as we feel like all the decisions being made are not at all in keeping with what we want to see happen, the changes that we want enacted. So I really want to actually get to grips with where this disparity is, why there's such a chasm between what we believe we should be doing and the way that the world is working. I just feel like we're just not fitting together. And I want to try and piece those pieces together and work out what it is, because I just think it's fascinating. And I think it's a really interesting time of anyone's life, being in your 20s, your 30s. I don't even think you can put an age on it. I think it purely is a period in your life when you just really are getting quite introspective, looking at yourself and looking at the world, and you just start to see things so differently. And also, another fun thing, apparently, so it used to be that you're an adult when you're 18, but now you're not deemed psychologically an adult until you're 25. So I think that's really quite interesting, because obviously I grew up thinking adults were 18. I'm 24. I do feel adult in some parts of my life. I do feel like I'm responsible. But there are other parts when I look at myself and I'm like, oh, it's fine, I'm only 24. And then I think, God, you're 24. And it's just that weird, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, that just that really weird feeling of uncertainty. This podcast episode is going to be a little bit shorter because it's just me and I didn't want to bore you too much. However, the next episode, I'm going to interview my mum, and I'm really excited. If you've ever seen Olive on any of my platforms, you'll know she's amazing. And I think this will be a really great insight into looking at different generations and really unearthing what's changed. And no better way to do it than through basically the older version of me, because we are quite literally like twins. So I would love it if you could subscribe to the podcast, rate and review, 5 stars would be amazing. If not, free country, vote what you like. Please give me any feedback, anything you'd like me to talk about. Feel free to message me on Instagram, where I'm the Tiny Tank, or Twitter, where I'm Tiny Anoni, or you can send me an email, inquiries@thetinytank.co.uk. I really hope to see you for the next episode, and I hope you've enjoyed listening. Thanks so much. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.